Shelftin Parakhov Aleph Pasuk Aleph begins with a short step back in time to right before the Battle of Givah is going to take place. And it speaks retroactively about something that had happened earlier, or maybe I should say retrospectively. The Ish Yisrael Nishba Ba Mitzpah Lemor. When Klal Yisrael had all gathered at Mitzpah, at that giant plain that we've seen several times now in Sefer Yehoshua and Sefer Shoftim, that gathering place where Yiftach had gathered all of Klal Yisrael, and when they gathered there to discuss what had happened with Pilegesh Begivah, and then to decide on a course of action, war against Binyamin, they had sworn an oath at Mitzpah, saying, Ish Mimenu, no man from among us, Lo Yitain Bito LeBinyamin LeIsha, may give his daughter to Binyamin to be a wife. They made an oath that no one would marry their daughters into Shevet Binyamin. The anger that the nation felt towards Binyamin was so deep that they saw them as literally being unworthy of being part of the Am Hashem, is the Lashon of the Da'as Sofrim on this parak. They were hoping Shevet Binyamin would humble themselves and see reason, and instead they never would. And as we saw at the end of the previous parak, the result was their almost complete annihilation at the hands of their brothers, at the hands of their fellow Jews. Now, why are they feeling so strongly about the idea that their daughters should not marry into Shevet Binyamin? Well, one thing, during the days of the Shoftim, it was very rare for different Shvatim to marry outside the Shevet. Perhaps since the days of the 12 Shvatim walking in 12 pathways in the Yamsuf, since Benos Tzalafchad, where there was a unique situation of a daughter inheriting land, and Shevet Menashe was afraid of losing their land, they were told to marry within the tribe. But apparently this was common. When you have no one king uniting all of us into one unit, despite the Achdus that we're describing and will continue to describe in this parak, there was a sense that one should stay loyal and within one's own Shevet. We know that when we talked about Shimshon, the fact that his father was from Dan and his mother was from Yehuda was unique enough to be remarked upon by the Nach, who says that they had kin in both Shvatim, and yet in the end, Shevet Yehuda were the ones who handed him over to the Plishtim, for example. But here, there's a particular reason. Because of Shevet Binyamin's willingness to abide wickedness in their midst, because of their willingness to let the Anshei Givah, who had done the terrible thing to the Pilegesh, not only survive but thrive and be completely unpunished, who would want to marry their family into such a group that was so callous about evil and had such an attitude about people who were, in this case, violent molesters and rapists, and they would simply allow that to stand? So there were moral and ethical concerns, as well as the usual tribal concerns, as well as the fact that now Shevet Binyamin was an oisvarf, was exempting themselves from the rest of Klal Yisrael. And now Pasuk Beis continues with the present day. After the 3 days of war, Shevet Binyamin has been almost exterminated. The battle rage has finally waned. The way Rashi described what happened during the battle and then what they did to the cities, Hariga achar hariga, death stroke after death stroke to the people of Binyamin. The sword is rising and falling and shedding Jewish blood. And now it's almost like Klal Yisrael shakes its collective head free of the fog that has had it ensorcelled. And Vayavo Ha'am Beis El. And so the nation came to Beis El, which again, the Mefarshim explain, as Mitzvah David says, El Beis Elokim Asher B'Shilo. They came to the Mishkan at Shiloh. And it's an interesting question also that somebody asked me, and I haven't found the teretz for. How is it that Klal Yisrael is Tamei Meis? And they're coming back to Shiloh. They need Tahara. They're coming back. It's going to say that they bring Karbonos. So it's a little interesting to think about, and nothing that I've been able to find in a single Mefarash about how they were capable of coming, unless it's one of those situations where Rove of the Am is Tamei, and we in Masechta Pesachim we talk about that, about the ability to bring a Korban Pesach when Rove of the Am is Tamei. Is there some Indian like that with the 400,000 men who Rove of them might be Tamei from all the death and destruction that they've been incurring? Maybe there's some kind of exception for a war of justice, but the nation comes back to the Mishkan. Vayeshvu sham ad ha'erev. And they sat there until the evening, until the day was over, lifnehu alokim, before Hashem. Vayesu kolam, and they raised their voices. Vayivku b'chi gadol. And they wept a great weeping. They are literally in avelus. They are in mourning at the thought of wiping out one of the only 12 brothers, the 12 sons of Yaakov Avinu. The idea of this terrible tragedy that has taken place on Klal Yisrael. They are mourning not only all of Shevet Binyamin, but even their own 40,000 heavy casualties that died along the way. This is a terrifying moment for Klal Yisrael. And they are, the Me'am Lois says clearly, having regrets when they saw the results of the war, even though their intentions were L'shem Shamayim. But the idea, the Malbim says, of wiping out almost an entire Shevet, of realizing that it must have been their own actions that prompted this for happening in the first place, that they had incurred Hashem's anger, they were in Avelus and mourning and realizing. Klal Yisrael, one of the Mefarshim, gets a little esoteric and points out that every nation has a sar in Shamayim, has an angel connecting it. But Klal Yisrael, on the other hand, has a direct connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists forever, he has promised that Klal Yisrael will exist forever. But how can there be an almost complete destruction then of one of the Shiftei Ka if we are supposed to last forever? And so they're questioning and they're mourning.